This is Comic Shenanigans, episode 1010, Spotlight on Marvel United. Welcome to the Comic Shenanigans podcast. I'm your host, Adam Chapman. This is episode 1010, if you can believe it. It's, I guess it's a comic talk episode, but really it's about Marvel United, which is, a board game from our deck building game. I don't even know the exact terminologies, but it's a very fun cooperative Marvel game and something I very much enjoy playing. And I have Nathan Strzok and Paul Scores back on the show to banter about our, you know, relatively recent, exploration into the game. So it was a lot of fun to record this episode. It was actually recorded weeks ago. In fact, at the time, I thought it was coming out that week, so I'd actually named it, the episode was numbered 1008, so you'll hear when I actually start the show, I just jump right in. This is, you know, episode 1008, and now it's not, because we ended up having some other things come up. We had the Shenanigans with Kelly episode that I did with my wife, and then we had a more time-sensitive interview with Sean Chen. Looking at the schedule now, I think I actually already have three interviews in the hopper already ready to go at some point. So at some point in the future, you'll get to hear Mark Bernardo on the show. You'll get to hear, goodness, who else do we have? Richard Starkings. We have Al Milgram for the first of what will probably be a multiple of interviews. So some really fun stuff coming up that's already been recorded. And there's other stuff coming up in November that I'm going to be recording that I'm really excited about as well, including we're supposed to have Pat Olaf back on the show, as well as a definite favorite, Isaacs, and I forget how you pronounce it, so I'll have to fix that, or at least figure that out before I talk to him next. This was a really fun conversation. I do want to, shout out a friend of the show and friend of Nathan Strux, who's also played Marvel United with him, because it was really fun to kind of have him reach out about it. His name is Matt Ryan. So Matt, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for just being a great fan of the show and for reaching out recently. At long last, it was good to be able to connect with you. And thank you so much for your very kind words. And again, for being a fan of the Comic Shenanigans podcast. It is very much appreciated. So let's jump right into the episode with Nate and Paul in just a moment. You can email me at comicshenanigans@gmail.com. Write the show on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, and also listen to us on Spotify. That's actually a relatively new addition. Thanks again for listening, and I guess I'll throw it to myself, introducing you to an episode about Marvel United. Enjoy. Welcome to the Comic Shenanigans podcast. This is episode 1008. I am your host, Adam Chapman. I'm joined by two friends today. I'm joined by Paul Scores. Say hi, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
And I feel like that's just something Nate would do. And also, Nathan Strzok. Nate, you may say whatever you'd like.
How dare you?
So I wanted to have you guys back on. First of all, it's the first time that we've actually had a conversation in this new podcasting era where... the show went away for a year, but prior to that, we used to do fairly regular episodes where we talk about all sorts of things, whether a lot of it was obviously focused on, you know, the current X-Men era of the time. We were starting to go through those. Now looking back, I think it would take forever to get caught up on Krakoa and that whole era, especially as it's falling apart right now.
I am down.
You're down?
Challenge?
It's not a challenge.
I do a daily podcast.
It would have to be in order to be able to cover Krakoa at this point. Although we have talked about doing an actual Book of the Month Club and actually keeping it every month and potentially doing the Clone Saga throughout the course of a year, which I think would slowly melt both of your brains, but I also think it would be quite a lot of fun. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about something that has become a passion
almost borderline obsession of the three of us in the last, you know, 9-10 months. Really, I guess, couldn't have kicked off until last October. And this is the game Marvel United that we have become huge fans of. And if we go back, it's funny that Paul and I were at a Halloween event last year. I apparently had already gotten the original Marvel United starter that my son had gotten at some point from our neighbor for Christmas or something. But we never opened it. It just kind of sat there because it looked like it was too much for him because the age, you know, he wasn't the right age. So I'm like, we'll just leave it. And it looked a little kiddie. So I'm like, I don't know. Because the sculpts looked a little silly. Not silly. That's the wrong word. But I'm used to HeroClix that were very serious looking. And these were like more fun looking. So I kind of wrote it off. And so we're at this event. And then we see the Marvel United X-Men starter set. So I started to see a lot more Marvel United showing up.
Sorry, Adam, what was the actual event? Wasn't it like a toy show? What was it that you...
It was like a Halloween party.
Yeah, so I live in Milton, right? And the town threw on this little, like, fair for the kids to come to Halloween. And they were still, like, kind of in a COVID. It was very small. And we went to the fairgrounds, and there were a handful of little tents and people and vendors that were there, right? So people selling arts and crafty stuff and goodies. And there was this one kind of dealer who had a mix of games, some Marvel Legends, Hot Wheels, maybe some Pokemon cards, whatever. Just a mixture of stuff, right? And I couldn't tell if this is this guy runs a little business out of his basement. Who knows? Whatever. It's
definitely a dealer of a certain kind based on the addictive properties.
Yes.
And after you bought it, you turned around and the table was gone. I'm hearing this, I guess, for maybe the first time, too. So what else? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so yeah, we were all dressed up. Beauty and the Beast was our theme. You know, I wish there was, you know, a podcast, but the picture of Adam in his cute little fuzzy hat being the Beast and the tail of the Beast Resistance and the cute blue suit being the Beast. Right, I was rocking the Gaston with, you know, like air bubble bags in my arms and my chest to give me like the uber muscles, you know. Right. It was quite the I was wearing like tight spandexy pants. It was excellent.
Straight.
So you know, Adam and I are kind of browsing about, and we find that we were browsing the wares, and we noticed this Marvel United thing is there, and I go, oh, because I had like when I go to 401 Games, right, the very popular website here in Canada where I buy a lot of my games, all of Marvel Legendary. It's a game I play, right, a deck building game that I've been all in on. Every time you search Marvel something, a bunch of different crap comes up on your search, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd seen United before a few times, right? And I thought, this looks interesting, the kind of like chibi aesthetic to it, and I thought, it looks kind of cool. I remember maybe kind of looking at it once, maybe or way back when season one of the Avengers one was out, and you know, from a very high level overview, a quick glance, it did look fairly straightforward. You had, you know, no really board, a bunch of cards, four different symbols, and similar to Adam, I kind of, yeah, maybe it's a kiddie game, so let's not kind of go. But there's always that little seed of curiosity that was planted, at least from back then. Then when we saw this thing at the fair, you know, it's on the table, and it marked like $30. I'm like, oh, okay. And we just got in there, so you do the typical, you know, let's look at all the vendors, see what's going on here before we circle back and do any real shopping, any purchases or whatever.
And this is sealed, like, right? This is like $30
sealed, brand new.
It's nothing, right? That's strange, right?
Oh yeah, it's interesting, yeah. Paul. I think that even that idea of like, oh, we got to look and we have to come back is very much like a cash mentality of like back in the day, right? Like I only have so much cash in my hand and this is a finite resource. Whereas like in the age of credit cards, it's not really a thing. But when you're at a little fair, it is. Yeah. And so it's interesting to have it come into play. And yeah, I think I even said to you as we walked away, like, well, if you don't get it, like maybe I'll get it. Cause it seems like a good deal. Cause it's usually like a $50, you know, item. I'm like, all right, like I have one at home. Maybe I should buy this other one if you don't. Thinking that, you know, I don't know if you needed to be spurred on or not. Part of me was like bummed that I didn't get it, but also happy that you did. So like I was a little bit of both.
Right.
I wasn't sure how I felt about it.
Yeah, and I think I only had like $20 to my name, and I think I borrowed money from you to get to the 30 or whatever it was. So yeah, we go to the fair, we circle on back, and we go to the guy, and I have the $30 in my hand. And I go, hey, you know, yeah, I'm going to take this. Right? Because we were interested when we were first kind of there. And he, I think he kept it kind of aside for us because we were pretty interested.
Well, that's nice of him.
Right? And he goes to us, goes, all right, man, let's make a deal. How about 20? I'm like, yes.
But
like,
what's weird is you actually said to him, it's 30, right? Like, you had the 30, you're handing it over, you are confirming it's 30. And he's just like, I'll do 20. I'm like, what?
What? Yeah.
And what your American listeners might not be aware of is that in Canada, our money is colored. Like, all the bills are a different color, so you can usually tell, at least if it's fan, that those are different bills. It's not like holding a stack of green, right, paper.
That's true.
So the only logic I can put behind it in any way, shape, or form is because I do toy shows. I have a table. I'm trying to sell stuff, move stuff, personal collection. And I know what it feels like to be at an event and have a crappy day at your table. You know, and you barely make enough money to even make your table, right? Mm. So, was he so desperate to make any kind? Maybe he sold nothing that day. Maybe he just needed to make something happen, right? And he's like, "Yeah, whatever, $20, give it to me, go. I don't care." Like, he was just, "All right, cool." Like, I felt almost kind of bad. I was almost like, "Yeah, okay, take it, run, let's go, like, start the car." Yeah, and
crazy.
And that began the journey. Well, to a degree, like. So then I have it, and I sit on it for maybe, I don't know, a few weeks, maybe a month, and then Nate comes over and goes, hey, we picked this sucker up at the fair, you know, do you want to give it a whirl, right? And because me and Nate had played first before Adam got, you know, involved into it. And
is this yeah. Is this before you'd bought anything else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I had nothing else. You just had the X-Men starter. Because then the first game with me and Nate was kind of like, hey, let's give this thing a whirl. We had a blast with it. And then we started to do the research and the discovery of, okay, this thing is much bigger than just this random kitty thing. It's this Kickstarter monstrosity and all these different sets and all these different versions. And and the snowball effect kind of exasperated from there. And then, you know, I started again doing a bit more research and saying, like, well, what's realistic? I don't think I'm buying these ridiculous, you know, $70 version of Tale of Asgard just for BRB and all these kind of things that were going on at the time.
Oh, those halcyon days.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, okay.
even with the promo box, the $200, they were like, that's absurd. I'm imagining it's just another starter. And like, this is, you know, these prices are on the secondary market are out of control. There's no way, no one ever going to get involved in this, right?
And lo and behold.
And I remember thinking it was, you know, a really surprisingly fun. Like, it was just the chibi aesthetic, and I thought, you know. It, from a collectibles point of view, from a cube kind of point of view, maybe even painting these one day, they just a great appeal. But yeah, when you set it up and it seems simplistic, and then you play your first villain, and like we did, I think Sabretooth, and to go, okay, that felt like Sabretooth. That's kind of neat. I guess all the other villains are going to be the same. I mean, this is the prey token, the hunted token, I think it's called. And Sabretooth is hunting the hero and until he kind of wipes them out and then will target a new hero and following the scent of blood. And then you play a new character. And I think it really was playing Juggernaut. Like, Juggernaut played very, very differently, noticeably different from Sabretooth. And there was a style and a sense of character to the AI, essentially, of the villain deck. And I was just like, oh, so not only is this different every time because of the random factors, but there's a sense of personality, and that's all it takes for me. Like, any kind of sense of comic accuracy, and I'll just give you my credit card, so add to the more, right?
So yeah, that's the crazy part. As much as we all, you know, passed it off being very simple, you know, here's these four icons that you have that seems like, meh, like whatever, but the nuance of it and the design of it is so nuanced and so... there's proper fan service and care to a good chunk of the characters. I mean, all the characters, but everyone feels like how they should play in this game one way or another. And it's astonishing how, yes, but how something so simplistic and actually be such a deep and engaging game holistically was so surprising.
So I'm curious because I'm trying to remember. So if you guys played in, I guess, I don't know, November, October or November, well, I guess it couldn't have been October. It would have had to have been November, maybe early December. So I don't think Nate brought it up to me until after Christmas. So I guess he had went over to your house. And so I guess I didn't know about the first foray, but I knew about once you had more of the X-Men stuff. because Nate was talking about it, and he was like, "We got to play this game." And I'm like, "Well, I have the original starter." So he's like, "I'm coming over tomorrow. Like, just make plans in your schedule. You're gonna fall in love with this game." And I think we did a lot of other things that day. And he's like, "Okay." So I think it was like 9 o'clock at night. He's like, "Well, we gotta play this game." And then he just didn't leave for like 3 hours because we played like three games. Because I was just like, "Well, okay, well, let's try another one." And you had given me the Spider-Man or Enter the Spider-Verse or whatever it was starter. So I was like, "All right, well, it's not start, yeah, expansion." Sorry. So we played that as well, and I was like, "Okay, I think I'm in now. This is pretty cool." And then it kind of dovetailed into us, first of all, getting together more often so that the three of us, or at least some combination of the three of us, could be playing more games. I know your son got into it as well, Paul. My son started playing as well. But I don't think the true madness, I guess, started taking hold in January, because this is when Nate starts trying to acquire more sets and more expansions. I think right after we'd played, I went out to a store and I bought three expansions for season one that were at retail. So I was part of that craziness too. But Nate was like dedicated to getting all the hard to find X related stuff in season two. And then we have find out that there's a new Kickstarter about to start. And that's where I think we're started going even crazier. So what were your thoughts when they announced that?
We had no idea. This is something like the community on Reddit had been talking about, and like, wow, season two was received so well, and they make all these improvements, quality of life improvements, and we're just so unaware of doing like any kind of like, Facebook marketplace deals, Craigslist, Kijiji deals, trying to like meet people in alleyways for quick trade-offs of cash to try to just shore up our season two, not even thinking that anytime soon we'd be able to get, again, the promo packs or the Infinity Gauntlet is like, high in the sky. That stuff that we missed the boat on. And then, oh, the game is still going and people have been waiting with bated breath for like, only a month or two away. It's January. Doesn't it open up in January?
I think they started releasing all the previews and stuff in that time, because I remember we went on a cruise in February, and that's right when all the shit hit the fan. Like, while we were gone, they're like, "There's an Omniverse, you can do all this stuff and get everything," and it was just like, what is happening? Which was crazy because we just weren't prepared for that. I was looking at the original starting dates for each of the Kickstarters. It had been two full years between season two and season three, actually, like their start dates for the Kickstarters, which is a long time, because between season one and season two, there's only 1 year. So they released the initial product, and then they pretty quickly followed it up. And then you have this two-year lag. So, like, we never had to experience this dearth of content. We were, acquiring all the season one and season two content and then being teased with season three all at the same time, whereas other people had been, like, waiting for years.
It was a pandemic game, right? The risk involved in any kind of Kickstarter, and then the supply chain issues that were going on, and people being on lockdown largely, and not being able to have maybe friends over. Like, board games in general, I think, took a hit unless you had a local board game community in your own home, right? Mm. So it survived against those odds and a very kind of voracious fan base. And little did we know also that in terms of the market, that the expansions were actually at their lowest that they probably would be, maybe in some cases ever. Mm. So we're hemming and hawing at some of these prices on eBay and going, "I don't know about that." And then just as soon as season three is right, the prices start to fire up there. And I'm a huge fan of killing sentinels. And so the Days of Future Past set was like, $70, $80. And it's almost like overnight, it's up, and still at this time of this recording, this is September 2023, you really can't get, at least for Canadian dollars, less than like a $300 purchase, right, with shipping on eBay for the set. So that went from, I could pick it up for $80 cash or something, to almost astronomical overnight. And then it was just like, what have we done? We dragged our feet, we had no idea, we were just kind of caught in the orbit of this much bigger entity.
Yeah, but we're still learning our stuff at the time too, and we had, gone back and forth on many different ways of looking at how we're going to collect this as a group, right? Because I think we agreed early on, it doesn't make a ton of sense for all three of us to own all of it. No. Times three is just ridiculous. There's too much of it. There's no reason. Like, we can all get together, bring what we own, and culminate. Yes, there's some duplication. I think we all have all, like, the main X-Men core, blue and gold.
But even that was kind of accidental too, right? Like, I picked up my blue because I was able to find, there was a Kickstarter exclusive that came, a version of it that came with a specific character that you guys didn't have. So it was like, all right, well, this makes it different. And then Nate was like, well, I found the gold one that has an exclusive character. I don't need my regular box of gold anymore. Here you go, Adam. So like, yeah, it was just this crazy cross-pollination of trying to figure this out. And you know, the big thing for us was being able to find a promo box from season two. But then the question is, what do you do with that? Like, how do you split it up? And we laughed about it at the time, right? Like, oh, well, it's not even unless we add in the box as something you can choose. And then it became, like, desirable to have the box, which is crazy. And then eventually...
Because we did a draft, right?
We did a draft.
I mean, this whole crazy three men in a comic book episode of The Simpsons was our model... was the danger, like, who's going to have, we're all going to do our best to go in on and pay for, but someone has to have it at their house. And so, are we going to take turns reading the comic book? Are we going to go and have a sleepover? Are we going to destroy each other, strangle each other while lightning strikes one of the boxes that falls to the ground? Thankfully, that hasn't happened yet, but I mean, there's still time. But that kind of model ends up being, okay, well, what happens when you have a box that you can't easily split in the same way, that it doesn't make sense for us to all kind of go in on the X-Men promos box, which, again, I don't know if you have listeners who this will be, they're unaware of the game, but this is like, you know, the mothership. This is tons of heroes, tons of villains, and Adam's favorite, the anti-heroes that can be played both as villains and heroes, and lots of new options to the game, and it's X-Men focused, and we're big X-Men fans, so we got to divide this up, and so we need a draft, and we need a commissioner. Right. Part of that was the box becomes a pick in the draft, and
it wasn't picked last. It was picked earlier than last. Like, that was the thing, right? Like, and then eventually, I think at the time we were like, "Wow, we got a box for $220. Like, this is amazing." And then somehow we got a box for $150 later on, and it's like, well, we don't need this.
We're talking cash money here.
Cash money. And I remember you were like, you know, do we need this? I'm like, I'm in. Like, absolutely. Because I was like, $50, like, that's not so bad. And now we end up, as long as two of us are together, we have the full promos at any given time, which is kind of cool as well.
United is one.
Until we get the mythical third box we always joke about, which is... possible, because I think if we can pay $50-$60 each, I would get it in a heartbeat.
It's going to happen. It has to happen. This is happening.
Well, and I think there will be more out there, right? Because part of, you know, the season three opening up on Kickstarter, suddenly we have more promo boxes are available for order. So people who missed out the first time can get it, or people who want to flip them later and get people who are like us, suckers getting into the game late, they can flip it on those people, or at least, you know, make some money on it or something, right?
But back to January, we were still grubs. We were living that grub life. No play mats.
Oh, yeah.
And we learned to play the game and enjoy the game, but we were in a matless life, and we didn't know what the true experience would be. So it was a series of events, right, that like Paul's birthday, thank goodness you had a birthday in March, Paul, because that became justification for we have to hunt this sucker, one of these suckers down. Again, another one of those things that I feel like should maybe be part of the bundle, should be more plentifully available, because you don't need it, strictly speaking, but until you've enjoyed, I mean, there's all these Reddit subreddits, right, about like, is the mat worth it, is it worth it? And again, these play mats have also gone up in price, so again, for those of you who aren't familiar with your game, it comes with cardboard locations you can use, and you have your pieces and your cards, and you have everything you need, but there's this beautiful, almost symmetrical kind of glorious, you know, storyline effect where you're playing cards, and they get played on the table, and you're supposed to form a ring that I call it continuity, but it is called the storyline. And essentially the cards that you play have an effect on previous cards, and you have incredible other effects that it doesn't sound very incredible for me describing it, that can alter the storyline and change the continuity and so on and so forth. But what I'm talking about is essentially, can you lay cards out on a table around the board game in a perfect circle? I love the symmetry of a nice, beautiful circle, but doing that by hand, things are sliding, you can't, the angle's wrong, the circle ends up becoming an oval.
But it's all willy-nilly.
It's too much chaos. But this mat has places for the cards to kind of lay them out in a perfect circle. And so just aesthetically,
It's more pleasing, but it's more functional. Is it worth the cost, though? You keep asking yourselves, you know, this, it would be like, what was it? Whatever it was originally, 30 US or something on the Kickstarter, maybe 40 US on the Kickstarter. And now Canadian, we're looking at 60, 70, 80, $90 at the point where we're getting into the game. It's just a map, right? We can make our own. Fast forward, and now how many maps do we have, Adam?
I mean, between this, we have three. And so, again, you got yours, and we were like, okay, that's cool. But then you were like, no, I got one for Paul. I'm like, well, that's awesome. He's like, but I didn't want you to be left out of being map bros, so here's one as well. And you and Paul ended up with, I guess, the last that this random French store, right? Was it from Le Griffon?
God bless Le Griffon, the Griffin in Quebec.
So you get their last two of the season two mats. Which were blue and gold, because it's X-Men themed. And they had one that was like seafoam green that was from season one that I'm actually very happy is mine. I like that because that we all have, I mean, technically you guys could play it with two different colors, but no one ever will because it's got a different orientation on the gold side. So you're like, no, I'm not going to use that. But, you know, I have always been very appreciative because once you play on the mat, you can't go back. Like, you can't go back to everything just floating around on your table. Like, it doesn't feel right.
Is 100% a deal breaker, and the quality deal of this breaker. Thing.
How do you play without it? You can't play without it.
Right? It's huge. It has amazing quality. It rolls up nicely. That's some cheap, flimsy piece of cardboard. It is a very well crafted piece that, it completes us. It really unites the game together. It's ridiculous. I would hate playing without it. So I was so happy to kind of experience it when you guys rolled out your mats, and then getting one as a gift was like, oh yeah, this is the way to play this game. It's just
undeniable. What's interesting as well, right, is that when we were looking at, again, this new Kickstarter launches, and there is a mat for season three, but they took away, like, it's not as big, and it doesn't have a spot for everyone to put your cards. So to Nate's point, like, that's what he loves about it, the fact that you get this storyline perfectly kept, and suddenly you lose that. So somehow they had the perfect design for the mat, and they got rid of it. Maybe it was expensive. Maybe it was easier to make a smaller sheet. Who knows? But
apparently that was feedback from some of the players in terms of it being too big for their tables.
Oh, that's fair.
And if you're in a smaller apartment or whatever, right? So, like, there is still a spot where the storyline goes, but it's barely a quarter of the size of the top of the card where you kind of lay it out. But isn't then the card just hanging off your table at that point?
Yeah, isn't that worse?
Sense, right? And the mat has a thickness to it, right? And then your card would be an overhead angle sitting on the mat too. It was really, I haven't physically seen this mat. Maybe it is thinner. I don't know. But to me, it is kind of the most inferior of the three mats, as we can all easily agree on that.
Right.
These don't sound like real fans. These sound like the competitors, the distinguished competition maybe came along and trying to undermine the game and destroy. What is it? CMON? What is the company name?
I mean,
how do I say this?
I just say CMON because I have no idea. It used to be, it was an acronym for something else originally.
But I think I legit read that point in the Season 3 Kickstarter. When you clicked on the mat, I think it said it in there is where I read it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
It's a real Marshall McLuhan type kind of situation of the medium is the message, because this game has not only just, like, it's called, it's just the metatextual aspect too of it being called United. It, as Adam pointed out, we found more reasons to get together, both for drafts, which are, I don't know, this is kind of almost like a Christmas event of just like glee of opening up the packaging and enjoying the draft together, but then playing together and discussing it and kind of, you know, planning things out for season three. And so it really has been a uniting effect in our homes. And again, that medium, the message that the mats have a place. We each have one now in case someone visits the other person. We can have something ready to go, ready to play. And so it's a weird thing where, like, the format of it is as it says. It is a uniting force in our lives.
Because it's a truly collaborative game where we're all teaming up and just trying to get together. How are we going to beat Sentinels or Nimrod or Red Skull, like whatever it is that we're trying to face, and we're trying to decide, okay, what if this happens, and what if he bams, and what, like, we're like, sometimes we overthink it for sure, we overanalyze it, sometimes we gotta go for it, take a chance. The uniqueness of, you know, playing Mystique for the first time, and she owns you, and the game's over, but, and we've only flipped over the fifth card in the storyline, versus, you know, the gauntlet of the Phoenix Five, and you're fighting five different villains in this marathon of a match against a powerful force. It's just, man, it gives you so much variety. It's so impressive.
And it's different every time because of the random factor too, right? Like, yeah. I did a game. I mean, I introduced some people in. I'm kind of like the east side of the city, rather than these two gentlemen in the terms of the Greater Toronto area. And I introduced players over here too. And so we now there's a demand, and one, you know, several players bought some of their own. And you know, I have my mats, which they always want me to bring it out. And we played against Apocalypse and the Horsemen, and I had one of the most unique matches against the Horsemen that I've ever had, and they kept resurrecting, and we keep trying to defeat them, and we're getting buried, and we're just like, we chose some of the strongest characters that we could pick because we, you know, we had a newer player, it was like their second game, and we're getting, you know, we're getting demolished, and we can't see the light, and the Apocalypse keeps, like, you know, gut punching us and taking us back to his pyramid, and we're losing health, and it's desperate, and it really is, speaking of what Paul was saying, something that is, I played cooperative games before, but there's just something about the fact that the game actually, in terms of speaking of its form again, expects or demands or requires there to be participation from turn to turn. Hmm. That the last player's turn is not just about where they place themselves on the board or what they do, but their skills or abilities can lead directly into what options you have. And so it is like building a human pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. From foundation and up. And we like to play where I know that some groups will play like their hand, closed hand. And they'll talk to each other when they feel the need. We just have a culture of just playing open-handed all the time and just chatting and presenting options to each other. Like, that feeling, I've never experienced that in any other game. There's no other game I know of except, I don't know, maybe being a kid and playing through Mega Man or Mario together, and the other person on the couch is going, okay, but remember, there's pits coming up here. Like, really a melding of the minds, and there's no friction. There's no sense of competition. I never feel like I'm competing against any of you. I feel like I am, you know, a team, and that's thrilling. It's exciting. Whereas in so many games, there can be a tendency to go, yeah, we're a team, but like secretly, I know that I'm the one that won this game, right? It speaks to the designers, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I think we mentioned a pre-podcast as well that the fact that at times there's a lot of games out there that have a Marvel license, but they're not necessarily designed for a Marvel game. Like, you know, you'll have a game that does well, and then you'll have, you know, they'll skin it as Marvel, and they'll add some tweaks. Like, one of my wife's favorite games is Marvel Remix, but that's based on another game and it uses the same mechanics, but now it's a Marvel game. Where this is, you know, this feels very developed for what Marvel can be, or at least what superheroes can be, because again, something we were talking about pre-podcast is that, you know, what if we finally eventually get a DC one? Like, we've had 3 seasons of Marvel stuff. Could DC have a, you know, DC United or whatever they wanted to call it? Knowing DC, it'd be DC Crisis or something. Like, you know, that's more a DC thing. But it'd be interesting to see that. Now, speaking to what you were saying, Nate, about this, you know, again, working together and working collaboratively, it's interesting because, like, you know, my wife loves games, won't play this, not because of the superheroes. Obviously, she plays Marvel Remix, so she likes games with heroes in them, but because she wants a winner. She doesn't want to work collaboratively. She wants to crush her opponents, or at least, like, she thrives in the competition, whereas this is much more like we're competing against the game. The game is, you know, who's going to win, us or the game, and I find that more engaging in this case.
Yeah, because you could have both. There's plenty of games where you'll have the competitive flair of person versus person. It totally exists. And Season 3, one of the selling points, of course, is that they have the Civil War expansion, which will introduce, a more proper, fully person versus person element. And based on some of the ways that previous expansions have really changed up the game, changed up what to expect, I have confidence that this will be excellent as well. But, I mean, do we want to talk at all about, like, all of the craziness that went into the Season 3? And I'm like, I'm not really into the multiverse stuff as much. I really just want mutants, so you two can kind of go in on it. And you're like, yeah, we're going to split the starter. But for those of you unfamiliar with Kickstarter, the more you do buy, the better the deal is, the better the discounts. if you pledge at least what it's just like at least a dollar or something like that, you can then have the option of a menu of, if this is successful, if Kickstarter raises enough money, mm-hmm. then you will have essentially a menu available to you that you can pay more money to buy mm-hmm. the kits. And then, of course, there's the Mac Daddy of them all, the Omniversal version, where you go all in and you go, here, I'll put in a this X amount of dollars and I will buy everything and they'll give me a discount on it. And there's no way we're going to do that, we say, in January, February.
Oh, no, we were on vacation. We were on a beach. Yeah. And, like, me and yeah. Paul were on a beach, and I'm like, we're not going to do Omniverse, right? Like, that's too crazy. Like, we don't need all that stuff. Thinking, like, we don't need that much of these sets. We won't play all these sets. Yeah. Of course yeah. we will. Like, what fools we were. You know, like, will they be our favorite sets? No. But at least they're not, you know, Nate's least favorite Season 1 stuff. Like, at least it's, you know, it's new stuff with, you know, taking advantage of all the years they've had to further refine, you know, how they build in special powers and how these things work. So many new mechanics they're bringing in. And, like, when you look at the list of, like, the Kickstarter exclusives, in previous sets, it was like, oh, you get, like, a promos box. Like, that was it. And now it's like, well, you get all these cards. You get extra equipment. You get extra team decks. All these new elements yeah. that they're adding for Season 3, they're just throwing it at you and saying, you get it all. And it's just like, okay, like, we were going to go a la carte, but then it started to make sense to maybe we just get it all. And then as we thought about it, it's like, well, no, let's do it all. And then the craziness really set in. Then I was like, well, hold on. Like, Paul's right. Now it's, what, three people trying to split a starter? That's really ugly. You know, it's a nice, compact starter. We're going to, you know, pull this apart. That doesn't really make a sense. Let's all get a starter. Let's all get all the stretch goals. And then I think it started becoming more of a insanity. Which I would still do. I'm happy we did it.
And we, if, remind me if I got this right, we did do that, right?
We're oh, yeah.
all getting our own starter. So we all got the Omniverse. And we're also going to make sure we all have our own starters. So we have this kind of, like, again, this meta draft or this pre-draft of, okay, who really, really wants to end up with certain expansions? Well, if we're going to draft it, and Adam knows that I'm going to pull AOA, the Age of Apocalypse, I guess that means Adam's buying his own Age of Apocalypse, so he doesn't have to worry about a competitive draft. It's like the friendliest draft possible, where if you, like, both wanted the same player in a sports team, it's okay, you draft, I'll just clone them and, you know, have my own or something. Like, there's not really a risk here. Also, I get to play with them whenever I want because we're friends, so if I need this goalie for a game, you'll let me borrow them. but it means there's a lot of money that kind of gets... Because the year, it takes a year, for those of you that don't know, for between when you do your pledges and you do your purchasing until they say they're going to end up shipping it and mm-hmm. have the product available. So then all of these things going into these anguished conversations, part of the beginning of which you two are on vacation and they're still releasing. They haven't even unfolded or revealed all of the content in Season 3.
No.
And so, like, you're on the beach and you're like, oh my gosh, like, the Wrecking Crew or whatever, like, so what a weird whirlwind, eh?
It was crazy. Well, and again, I guess the big thing, so once we were looking at, well, what if everyone gets an expansion? It also means everyone gets the promo box. So we had just got, I don't think did we have the Season 2 promo box when we went away on vacation? Or was that something that came later? Because we went away on vacation on, like, February the 5th. So this is very early on in our insanity. So I feel like it might have been before. Because I feel like it wasn't till later that we did the draft. I think the weather was nicer.
I think you're right.
So I don't think we'd ever drafted before.
I'm sure this is riveting podcasting, trying to remember things on the dates of, like, the year 2023. But I think the mat was March 2023, and I think for Paul's birthday, don't we have the promos to play with? Aren't we playing X-Men stuff on his new mat?
I think you're right, but I think when we got the promos, didn't he have to go get it, and then he brought the commish with him?
Yes.
And then they show up at my house?
Yeah, Yeah, you drove up to a meeting with the guy for a local pickup on eBay. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it's been a whirlwind, hasn't it? Like, there's just so much stuff. I know there's these boxes stacked up in our closets, mm-hmm. and I have, like, other boxes for transporting them. I've got these cardboard boxes so I can put all the stuff into one thing to easily transport it because I'm tired of carrying this tower of power around with me. Ludicrous.
Or I think you could almost have an entire podcast focus on your stories for the Griffon and how we not fleeced them, but we were able to get a lot of well-priced product after some various emails, willingness to break up sets, and just the craziest stories for it. And I'll give you guys credit. When you guys decided to go all in, you guys, like, all the backing conversations you guys had, and all, the wheelings and dealings, and, like, you guys were probably more on eBay and Kijiji than you were doing real jobs, trying to find and hunt the best deals for anything that we didn't have. And I'm genuinely impressed, because I started it with the one little purchase for $20, you guys went, no! And, like, went full Super Saiyan on the whole situation, and it is quite impressive what you guys have put together. The generosity with the gifting, like again, the match for a birthday, the almost out of the blue. Like, okay, so for me, when I my brilliant plan was, okay, so Christmas came around, they had this Amazon like exclusive set, right? Came with the Avengers starter I didn't have yet, great. Spider-Man starter, cool, gift to Adam. And as a little bonus, you got like Doctor Strange by himself. Cool. Doctor Strange is one of my top guys. Wicked. I'll add him to my collection. Get X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, and get Thor, because Thor's my guy. And I'm good. That's all I need. All my favorite characters kind of in all those little sets, and that's probably
except
to survive, right?
Except one Thor character, right?
Except one, yeah. BRB, right? Better Ray Bill. Obviously, Wicked piece in the game, a Wicked character with his cards and abilities. And these monkeys out of the blue just rolled on in one day with this cockamamie story. Nate comes to you, oh hey, no one has Thor, I need to take Thor to my other community here and they're gonna give it a whirl. Sure, I'll borrow it to you. And then this guy rips out this sealed one out of his trunk going, oh here, I gotta trade this up with you. Like, what's this? Oh wait, it's still sealed. And flip on the back, and sure enough, these guys just, here you go. Like, this is what one of the trip gifties. This is what, November? This out of the blue?
This is May.
Was it May?
May, June, whatever our trip was.
Yeah, I guess it was June. Yeah, I think that's when we went to Chicago. Yeah, it was just a random thing that we did. What's funny about that, Paul?
We couldn't wait. We can't wait a year. We're not going to wait until Christmas. Like, this is...
We
figured it out. We were able to find a copy.
We had talked about waiting. It's funny because when you mentioned like we were always on eBay or Kijiji. So even after we gave it to you, I was still like looking for it for some reason. Like it was just because it became part of the routine. Like once in a while, I would just like look around for Beta Ray Bill. I'm like, why am I looking for this? But even like this summer, like I finally did an eBay purchase because I got the X-Men First Class because I was like, I really want these characters.
Yep.
I want the villains. It's not around. It was a relatively decent price, so I kind of jumped on it, which is what also led me to X-Men Blue and having Banshee. But now we kind of have everything. Like there's nothing really to look for. There's a couple exclusive characters and some con stuff, but for the most part, we have most of what is more or less readily available, or was readily available at some point. Nate,
or we have it on order, right? Like the Avengers promo, we have that on order for season 3, and it comes with the promo pieces or the extra pieces for that, the Yondu and the Adam Warlock. So this story that Paul has alluded to, the store in Quebec, which I am just kind of feverishly, this must be like early 2023, going, I've got to have Days of Future Past. I've got to be the X-Men guy. I've got to be the guy who has the X-Men pieces. I love X-Men. Maybe I'm wrapping too much of my identity up in this franchise, but I don't care. And so I'm like on my phone at like 2 a.m, just going, there's got to be something. There's going to be something in the States. There's going to be something overseas. I emailed one person on like the French version of like a Craigslist at one point, saying like, hey, this is listed. And is it possible I can, like, convert to euros? Would you ship to Canada? And I had a conversation with a guy in France about that. I'm translating in Google Translate. There's no way. The only option is to get this for $300. That is so prohibitive. And so I eventually find this store that doesn't come up very. It should come up higher when you do a Google search, but it's for like Marvel United, but it doesn't. And so a lot of their prices were either well below eBay or sometimes close to MSRP. And I'm like, how are they getting away with this? This is, I'm going to test the waters here. And so part of that was like the Matt Quest. Sorry. I got to take it back to 1988 there for a second. And so I buy from them and they ship and they're doing free shipping if I do a certain order or a certain amount. And eventually it's like, okay, yeah, but none of the really high price stuff, none of the Infinity Gauntlets, none of the Days of Future Past stuff. I found a few things here and there. That's fun. And then inexplicably out of nowhere, this is only like a few months. This is like 2 months ago or something.
I think so.
I'm just refreshing old haunts, right? Like, okay, we have what we're going to get. And it reloads, and they've just got Infinity Gauntlet up for a much lower price than it's actually quite close to what it would have been if you do the MSRP, the American Kickstarter MSRP. I'm like, this has got to be a joke. I've got to double check this. I'm not going to email anyone. Again, it's late at night. They're not going to get back to me. And I'm talking to you guys, and I'm like, so should we go in on this? Are we going to do this? So we just split it three ways? I mean, this would be really cheap, even cheaper three ways. And Adam's really busy, I think, with work and a number of things at the time. And you're like, yeah, no, I can put on like my American credit card or something. I don't know what it was. There's something. Yeah. I have it in my checkout. And I'm like, okay, I just want to see what the shipping would be. So we have a final total if we're going to split it. And then Adam's going to buy it. And Adam goes, okay, yeah, remind me tomorrow if I don't pick it up. And so I go and I check
the next thing. Now, what did I tell you, Nate?
Don't trust Adam?
Just jump on it. Don't hem and haw. Don't be a date. Just go ahead and do it. And I didn't do it. And I went back the next day and to remind Adam, I'm like, oh, shoot, the inventory is at zero now. Like, Adam, please tell me you bought it. And you're like, no, I'm sorry, I forgot. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, it's like having a dream as a collector. Anyone listening who's a collector knows you have a dream of succeeding at finding the greatest price for the hardest to find item. And in your dream, you succeed, you get it, you take it home, and you wake up in the morning, and you look over at your shelf and go, wasn't that great that I didn't get it. I am such a consumer. Such a consumerist mindset that I'm dreaming fantasies of buying stuff I don't actually own. It was kind of like that. I'm like, is this real? Did this really happen? And so, like, a few days go by, and I'm like, okay, well, we'll cut our losses, and I guess we'll never get Infinity Gauntlet for any reasonable price. Because it's a combination of Season 1, the further away you get from Season 1, you know, there's more product to buy to tantalize people. And it's also got, it comes with an infinity. It comes with a gauntlet. It comes with a plastic gauntlet. And you're taking the infinity, I'm going to call them gems. I'm not going to call them stones. And you're putting them, as you're collecting them in the game, you can assemble them on the gauntlet. And of course, you know, Paul, your kids see this thing and they both want to put it on their hands. And they're kind of grabbing at it and buying for it. You're like, everyone step away. This is a piece of plastic. It's not hardy. This costs a lot of money. But of course, I've spoiled the ending because we own it now. What happens? I get a call from Legrafon by saying, hey, we don't have an updated credit card for your order that you put in. And I'm like, my what? I had received, and again, this is from Quebec, and I don't speak fluent French or read it, an email that I thought said a day before, items in your cart, you know, have not been purchased, so make sure you go ahead and finish it. And when I went back and checked the inventory, it was zero. So I'm like, okay, I must have gotten that email saying, hey, buy now, someone else could buy it, it's in the cart. Mm. And someone did, someone sniped it, rightfully so. And in fact, when I translated the email, it says, your purchase is confirmed, you will be shipping momentarily. I had apparently accidentally hit confirm without knowing it. I thought I had closed the window or I'd gone away, but I had actually gone through into the cart section and hit yes somehow. And I don't really know what the system is there or what was going on with the whole system, but we ended up with it. We ended up with the purchase. I now have a story that is not filled with regret. But this is just like, I don't want to go on, I don't want to drone on, but there's like story after story. This is what Paul's talking about. This is like the forgive the pun, the shenanigans that Adam and I were getting up to almost on the daily, just finding as many new arrivals. Some, it goes up on a store and we're like, we're one of the first ones to grab it and claim it to be our own. And now a lot of those things are just, you know, zero stock now, right? So mm-hmm. I guess we did it. I guess we win.
We had to catch them all. We went full Pokemon on these things. It was great. Like, yes. It was, you know, the completionist in us to do it and to unify and all, you know, get our own kind of, you know, again, Nate being the X-Men guy and you know, Adam getting to see once, and like we're all happy with what we have, and it's a big, you know, it's been a shared expense to a certain degree. Like Nate's been very gracious to get some of the bigger beasts, but he was willing to them, and we were, Adam and I were always willing to say, hey, how can we pick Shin? How can we make this, you know, as equal as possible? And it's been, you know, almost a unique bonding experience, and like, you know, with our friendship as well, in terms of being able to kind of pull this off, and it's just, it's been a funny journey to keep going, right? And now, you know, as you know, Nate will attest that, you know, season one, he hates season one stuff, right? He thinks it's such an inferior product compared to how the game has evolved. But I'm looking forward to when we get the multiverse stuff, because now they've added material and extra content that will go back to season one and improve on those characters and make them stronger and more diverse to catch them up to where the game is rolling up to. So I'm looking forward to see how those kind of counteract and update each other,
but which
is cool from a game design experience.
I think what we're going to see is that he's going to use all the new mechanics just to make season two better. Screw season one. How do we make the X-Men even cooler?
I think the starter in season one is blah. If you're a new kind of player, you haven't tried this game out yet, I would highly encourage you either to wait for the Spider-Geddon starter, and maybe October they'll release it.
November.
Or get the X-Men one, but that's my opinion. And a bunch of the other ones I don't think are very good. But the promos box for Avengers is great. Fantastic Four is great. No, that's season two. Sinister Six is fantastic. There's just a bunch of really good ones. You know, the Spider-Verse one is really good as well. So there's stuff out there. I just, that starter, there's a reason why people kind of were like, this seems really overly simplistic. I don't think this game will last. And then you start get a taste of what else is out there, and you go, oh no, this game has legs. It's really, really good. We pretty much do that.
Well, I was just going to say, it's interesting. So you mentioned that, like, you've tried a lot of stuff that we haven't seen because you created a community. You, again, brought the drug and said, hey, guys, try out this cool thing. And then a few of the guys were like, we need it all. Let's do it all. Just like, but then doing it themselves. Like, at least we had a group of three. We did it over a little bit more time. Some of these guys were just like, nope, I love this. Let's do this. And they got it all. So you've been able to try things like Return of like the Sinister Six expansion. You've been able to use, you know, some of the season one pieces in the promo box. You've used FF, like you've seen some of these things that we've only heard myths of. You know, like we can see the cards, but we've never experienced the cards. So I'm excited for that experience when that happens, you know, next year. I guess the big thing next year, so I've thought about this a lot, and, you know, we're getting a ton of content. It's like, what, 8 or 9 expansions all at once? Is like, to make it more exciting, you know, really, we should have like a box at a time. Let's experience a box at a time per meeting. So each time we get together, it's like a new box. And we can really make this excitement last. And then we also have the promos too, right? Like, you have all these promo pieces we'll want to use. So if we're smart, we can make this euphoria last for a long time before we start thinking, where is season four? You know, where's the next thing? Now, I was talking with Paul. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was asking to clarify. Are you saying we're going to have, like, whatever? I'm imagining a giant shipment, and there's a big kind of Santa's bag, and you're going to just go in and get a little beard and hat on, why don't you? And you're going to pull out one of the boxes, and we're going to open that together, and then we're going to leave everything else sealed till next time?
Well, no, not necessarily.
It's like eating popcorn, one popcorn at a time. It's more fun if you let it dissolve in your mouth before you eat it. No, I like to take a handful of popcorn and put it in my mouth until it dribbles down my chin.
That's upsetting. We do the draft. Everyone gets their stuff. They bring it to their homes. What I'm saying is that, like,
to be clear to our listeners, this time around, we are drafting expansion sets versus singular characters.
That's right.
Our first draft was, you know, singular characters from the X-Men promos box twice. And then now,
3 zones away.
Yeah. And now, so we've doubled up on a few of the starters for the next season. And then now there's, what, 6 or 7 different expansions, right? So, like, Annihilation, for example, which has Richard Ryder-Nova, that's a get out of my face and I will destroy you. That's for me, right? You guys will have a word of the death for AOA, for example, but, like, that's what we're doing. This, like, there's no sense in taking AOA and, like, well, you get Nemesis, you get Weapon X, you get Jean Grey. That makes no sense. That set has to have some synergy with itself and stay together. So from a location standpoint, character standpoint, so, madness.
What I'm thinking more, Nate, is more like, okay, we do the draft, everyone's excited, but, like, you know, maybe we're like, okay, this time we're hanging out, let's go up against the Maximum Carnage villains. You can use whatever heroes you want, but let's use the villains from this set. And the next time, let's use the War of King villains today. Let's use a bunch of these guys. Although I guess there's only one in War of Kings. But you know what I mean? Like, kind of go through it that way. You're like, no, I want to do it all. I want to do one Maximum Carnage. Let's do an AOA. Let's go crazy.
I guess I can't imagine. I'm not picturing how this is any different than what we do anyway. We get together. We say, what villain do you want to play?
I guess so.
Enjoy a villain.
I guess you're right. I like the idea. I think what I'm thinking of, but it doesn't work for all the starters, sorry, all the expansions, is the idea of, like, we open up the expansion, we got Gladiator, and we have all these Inhumans. Let's play out of this box. Like, let's use these characters, because they're all brand new. Let's just play in the box, you know? Because, yes, we have...
No worries. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. That's more what I was thinking.
And this is also really one of those games where... I maybe speak for myself, but we kind of alluded to this as well before, even on, like, the default setting, aside from some of the more simplistic villains, it does seem like, again, they've designed it just in such a way that the, like, again, if it's a random hand that they're getting, and it gives you the options that you have to use per turn, and you play one card per turn, and there are 12 cards in a deck. So the deck is also a timer. Like, the actual game itself provides you with finite resources, and if you can no longer play cards, then your heroes lose. If anyone can't play a card, the game is over, the villain wins. And so the experience of losing isn't bad. It's not, I don't know, it's not unfun for me. It's even if I win or lose, it's still good, and they've timed it. They've done it in such a way, they've designed it in such a way that it's very common that it's a nail-biter finish. Mm-hmm. I've had so many nail-biter finishes playing this game in different scenarios against different villains using different heroes. It's not like, oh, if I use the strongest heroes, I'll win every time, no problem. I have played strong, like I said before, in a game against Apocalypse, we used all these strong characters, and we're like, this is be nothing, no problem. We got a bad shuffle against Apocalypse's deck, and he almost murdered us. Like, it was, again, one, if I had gone left instead of right, we might have been dead. And maybe that sounds unappealing to some of the listeners, but it's not. It's really thrilling, because I could have been so close the other way. And so when I lose, it could have been so easily a win. And when I win, it's like, yeah, but it doesn't feel like I just demolished the game and that it has no teeth. Mm-hmm. So getting together with you guys is, like, the best part of it. Aw. But also, I didn't mean that sarcastically. It is true. I just was hoping for what no one did, so I provided the soundtrack. And the other part is, yeah, just the mechanics of the game. And I really, anything you want to do, except, I guess, Rhino, who's the worst, let's play the villain, let's do it the way that the box would, quote-unquote, intend... I'm down for it. That sounds good. Because, of course, why not use the new heroes anyway? Because we've been using some of the older ones anyway. We open up, unfortunately, Warped Kings, and we're left with a bunch of Inhumans. Okay. But we'll try them once. Maybe they'll be fun.
I think they'll still be better than the Skrulls from Secret Invasion.
You know, and I think the same way, and watch that be amazing. Watch that be one of the most fun sets, and we're all kind of just down on it now, and watch it just be incredible. I guess we'll have to see.
So let me ask you guys.
Is there a game effect where you're accidentally attacking your own characters because you think you're a Skrull, or it mixes up your cards? Like, they could do anything. They're very creative.
For sure. So let me ask you a question. So we all are getting all the stretch goals now for season 3, because we're crazy. Was there any villain that you're glad you don't have to fight over? Or you're glad you didn't have to worry about where you were in the draft because you wanted to make sure you got that villain? Was there anyone that stood out to you? I have a guess for Paul.
You mean like from
the promo box?
Starter, now that we're all getting our own starters?
No, the promo box for season 3.
Because the first thing that came to my mind wasn't that. It was one of the expansion sets that I'm glad that we were able to work it out by you and I both getting an AOA, because I need, you know, is he going to go by Holocaust, or is he going to go by Genocide, or is he going to...
I don't know.
Nemesis? I don't know what he's...
I mean, it should... I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're actually going
to
go with.
Okay. We'll call him Nemesis. I have to have this Nemesis figure, right? So... Mm-hmm. For me, and they even showed, like, some of the prototypes for it, that it's going to be an actual little kind of, like, skeleton Nemesis inside of a domed kind of lid that you can remove, I guess? That there's, is that really, maybe they were showing just the kind of the prototype stage, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like to imagine that it's removable, because, I mean, the Juggernaut also should have a removable helmet. It should be a kind of scenario where that kind of can pop off, or sure. Rogue can crack open, pull that out, and, you know, it's issue 3, right? It's Astonishing X-Men issue 3, I think, where she cracks open his armor and then like kind of the energy dissipates and then returns back in and then bludgeons her and goes, "You thought you could stop me?" I think it's issue 3.
I thought it was issue 4.
Is it the final? Is that the final?
It might be.
The finale?
Well, now I don't remember. I'll have to read it afterwards.
Comics, then. We don't know what we're talking about, clearly.
Nope. Do you want me to remind you what the villains are in the Kickstarter season 3?
That would help.
All
right. That would help. Yeah, sure.
All right. You got Claw, Chameleon, Titania, Absorbing Man, Abomination, Crimson Dynamo, Crossbones, Maximus, Iron Patriot, Blast Star, Hobgoblin, High Evolutionary, Enchantress, Gore, Null, Lizard, Purple Man, Mole Man, and the Shocker.
For me, it's those X-Men, it's the Spider-Man villains, right? It's the Hobgoblin's a huge one for you, Adam.
Yes, it is.
And I would have liked a Hobgoblin, and you would have wrestled me to the ground for that, so I'm glad that I don't have to.
That's right.
Be wrestled.
Paul, what would yours be? I had a guess.
The Asgardians, Gore, or sort of the Thor-related ones, obviously Gore and Enchantress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably being two huge ones from that villain group for sure.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. I thought it would be Gore. The minute I saw him, I'm like, well, that's Paul's.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that's one of the reasons why I'm very happy we're both getting starters, because obviously you were going to punch anyone to the ground and try to take Jane Foster away from you.
And Cosmic Ghost Rider.
And Cosmic Ghost Rider, right? Yeah, that's right. You were very clear. Stay away from these.
Yeah.
And originally it was just you and me splitting the starter, and then like it was like, okay, well now Nate's getting more involved. What does that mean for the starter? Can you take a starter and split it in three ways? It was not going to work splitting it twice, let alone three ways. So how was that going to work? These are all part of the mechanics we had to think about when wrestling with this, you know, this mammoth thing that's happening. And now I don't even know what that's going to look like showing up on my doorstep. All these boxes.
Well, how does that for your family? How about, you know, your partners? How's that been with them seeing you bringing more of these boxes in? And has there been kind of a concern? Has there been a little bit of maybe you should slow down? Or is it kind of been, no, I mean, it's okay. And
yeah, so far I got rid of HeroClix and replaced it with this. And like I had taken the space that was HeroClix, and over time it had shrunk down only to like two shelves. So now, you know, Marvel United is taking up that space. I will have a problem come February or March or whenever this arrives, but thankfully we have time for me to try and figure out a solution that will help. But she doesn't really care for it because she won't play it. Zach loves it, so that's cool that, you know, Zach is into the game. He's very much, you know, a 10-year-old, so like he'll play one and then he'll kind of wander afterwards. Like, but usually the first game he's more invested, he's paying attention. For whatever reason, when I got the X-Men First Class, he was super into it and was like just wanted to play the 05 and their like present day counterpart together against Scarlet Witch and the Quicksilver again and again. It was just like, okay, now it's Iceman and Iceman. Now it's, you know, Jean Grey and Marvel Girl. Like, he just was really enjoying that. That kept his interest a lot longer than I would have expected. Whereas usually when you've come over, Nate, he'll play one usually. And then after that, he'll kind of wander away when it's not his turn. He's not really paying as much attention, but that's also because he's 10.
That's usually good for at least two games when he plays with us, right? He doesn't mind going in, enjoys playing with the X-Men characters. He's really interested in having, like, because I asked him, okay, if we're looking at these fan shows coming season 3, what do you want? And, he plays a lot of Marvel Snap, just like I do, and he had a big Galactus deck, especially at the time. He's like, I want Galactus, Dad. Let's get Galactus, right?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, that's going to be cool. I mean, we're not having Fan 4, but okay, you want Galactus? Let's get Galactus. So he's really excited to play against Galactus. That's going to be totally his jam, and he'll be on that. And I have to laugh because my wife and my older son Sean, like, they're like hearing us talk ad nauseum about this behind the scenes, and like, oh my god, you're talking about this game again. What's wrong with you guys? So it's kind of funny that they're like, we've gone so hardcore to the point of annoyance to the ones around us at times.
But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, again, what I like about it is that it is. it is collaborative. It's community. It's, you know, we get to play together. It's not just like a game that like I got into, but I have to play it alone at home. You know what I mean? Like the fact that it's, again, it helps us come up with more reasons to see each other so that we can, you know, play. Obviously we chat about other things, but it's just nice, again, having this community to play together. And at the fact that, you know, Ben will play, the fact that Zach will play at all, like that's cool. We had Kaylee play a game. It was the worst choice because we had her play when it was like, what was it? Deadpool. And it was just like murdering characters. And then she was like, I'm going to play with this character. That character is dead now. And you have to play a new one. It's just like, what is happening? Like that was probably the roughest starter game for anybody, but she was excited because there was like a unicorn involved. She was, you know, Deadpool is riding a unicorn. I got to play this. So it was interesting.
We're getting like a Michael Bay military helicopter thing, fly on in and drop this palace on your roof or something. Like this is going to be such an insane package of content that's coming our way. It's going to be like crazy.
Like, I can't even, am I just calling back. Nate? But like, Nate, come get me now. Bring me to Paul's.
Like, yeah, because I mean, sure, I want to do that because I'm also your home is a bit front facing in terms of like a pub, you know, a fairly large street, so. I don't know, the week that they're shipping them out, should you make a little tent around your door so people can't see?
Well, Kelly works from home most of the time, so she's home. So she'll hear it, right? Like, I don't know how they're going to get that up my steps, but like,
she'll hear the crane, yeah, that's true. I will be busting at the seams to, like, get to Paul's for sure as soon as we have those.
When we get the shipping confirmation, you'll be like, oh man, it's happening.
Yeah.
So are you... But
again...
Yeah. I was just going to say, are you part of, like, have you joined these Reddit communities, et cetera? Like, when they start shipping these things to Canadians, will you know before anyone else because you're part of this community?
Yeah, I'm a lurker on Reddit. I don't really, I mean, I don't post, but I'm joined or I'm signed up, right? So I'm part of that group. So it's something that I will be checking notifications for sure as we get closer to the date. But again, like I was saying before, in terms of the amount of content we have, I don't feel like we've even scratched the surface of the stuff that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you really maybe need to play the same scenario or same villain many, many times, possibly with many different heroes, and not back-to-back, obviously, before you really get to appreciate them maybe to their fullest and appreciate the variety available in the random factors, the randomness factors of... different shuffles that you happen to get with this hero versus this villain can go completely one way versus the other.
Mm-hmm.
And because I never know exactly what I'm going to get, I feel like I could, even the starter set for X-Men, which has four villains, I'm still getting enjoyment out of it. I'm still, every time you put Mystique on the board, you're like, if we don't have a tank to take the hits for Senator Kelly, if you don't put a Colossus on the board,
how do you win?
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
And Magneto, I've only ever beaten him with you two after playing him probably 7 or 8 times. And he's commonly wiped the table with us. It can go so wrong so quickly. And I'm excited to play Magneto with different combinations of things. So that's four villains that came in a starter set. I'm not even that much in a rush. I'm not kind of going, I'm excited, but I'm still excited to play through so much more of this stuff with you guys than we have, so... It's almost like we're working for this company. Is this an ad? Are they paying you for this? if you think back carefully enough, actually, Paul, to the gentleman who sold this to you, his name tag, did it have like first initial C, last name Mon? Hi, I'm Charles Mon, or Simon for short. Like, is this just kind of a wink nod, like the game creators, the owners of the company, they went out and seeded in Milton?
That would be quite the genesis to it all, yeah.
Well, with games like Snap, the reason why these free-to-play games work is because of whales, right? They call them the whales. These are the few players that will buy everything, that they will take real-life dollars, and they're going to go in the store, they're going to go to, you know, Pokemon Go, and, like, there's no way they can support this game. They can, because there's always a percentage of these whales that will just spend all the... So they spotted a few... This isn't meant to be an insult, but they spotted two whales walking around on a Halloween kind of, you know, haunt, and... they got you. They saw you coming, I guess.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? Because if we didn't see that, if we didn't go to Halloween last year, do we never get into Marvel United? Like, it's possible. It's such a weird sequence of events that became this thing that's so huge for us.
Yeah. No omniversal pledge from us at all. Like, we wouldn't be unaware.
No. And it's one of those threads of destiny, right? It just right place, right time, and yeah, and it's brought us. Yeah, okay. There's been a financial investment, sure, but it's done a lot to, you know, have us really have a great time with a wonderful game. And it takes a lot of like the really cool stuff I enjoy about with the Legendaries. It's a very similar concept of, you know, there is the three of us. It's you against the game. It is fairly cooperative to a point, though, right? You're still almost like everyone takes their own turn, and there is like a victory point system. So to Kelly's point, like, you know, April can still win the game. She got the most victory points per se, even though you all collectively were on the same goal to defeat the villain. So it takes some of those mechanics and then I guess fleshes it out in this. You know, and I love the miniatures. Those sentinels, my God, they're just absolutely gorgeous. Some of them really just pop off the page. And if you see online the various degrees of the professional paint jobs some people have done with these figures. There's a particular one of Bishop I really like, when someone got a glowing effect on his hand to happen with the paint, like reflecting off his body and stuff with the energy effect. It's really, really, I can never do it on my best day, so I don't ever want to try and, because I think, Nate, you've said a few times before, if you paint one, now you got to paint them all. Like, there's no real, unless you buy like a dummy, like, Mohawk Storm as a single and then dabble, right? That's your only kind of hope of ever just kind of doing one. If you play a random, like, guys, you remember there was a point where we were looking at singles, right? We're all going to buy an onslaught, and we're going to buy this character and that character, right? And we started crunching them out, going, no, it just makes sense for us to buy the big box. It was like, oh my God, we can go back and rehash so many crazy, like, nuances to our journey with this game. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, how can we spend the least amount of money and get as many of these problems as we want, as we can? And like, yeah, well, you know, I really want Blob and Toad and Pyro. That seems really cool. You're fighting three members of the Brotherhood at the same time, which, again, for those of you not familiar, it's usually a team against the villain. But it's three villains running around the map at the same time. This seems really neat. We all want an onslaught. Okay, so spend the least amount of money, buy off of eBay, try to get group shipping, kind of reduce those costs, and it adds up so quickly. And you realize, I'll only get a few of these, and then I'm at like 15 of them, and the prices of them are not low, and they're even higher now than they were, you know, back when we were in early 2023. It almost seems so quaint that we thought we'll just try to cut down the number of figures we have, and we won't have a box for any of this. I'll just throw it in a bin somewhere or in a bag, and that'll be good enough. And now we're like, no, unless the boxes are all stacked up with the art on the side, you can read it. That's why Adam needs that third X-Men promos box so that we can be truly...
Were we really close to buying it? I don't know what happened. Because didn't we have an opportunity to get it for like 60 each?
Yes. But we said, we decided we can probably technically wait for it to come even lower. We don't need to rush. But
should have done it.
And especially as we approach the holiday season, it might be fine for us to kind of just save that money for now.
Mm.
But I think it's an inevitability.
It does feel like that.
So now we're missing Gamora... Mm-hmm. And Old Man Logan. That's about it. Everything else is either going to be in our hot little hands next year, or we already have it.
Or it's a convention exclusive, because I think you have like one or two of those.
Yeah. I have the Juggernaut convention exclusive cards, and the Sinister, I really, really want to get the Sinister cards, but that might be a long play, because those are really pricey.
Yeah. There's an X-Force Deadpool too, right? That's the third one?
That's an X-Force Deadpool. That's definitely one that I would love to grab for you. Because, you know, you have the Deadpool set, so that's an automatic Paul set. And then maybe, Adam, since you already have an X-Men and Ben Blue, we can give you the Sinister card so that you have a set, too.
There you go. Now, one thing, Paul and I, we were together this past weekend, and I will continue this part of the conversation post-podcast as well. We were talking about that, you know, that Season 1 promos box, and part of me is like, I should just buy those guys out and just take it all. Like, I think I'm just so much more interested than you guys in those characters.
You will love it. You really will. I thought, hey, this is going to end up like the starter, Avengers starter, or maybe like, again, certain aspects of the Wakanda and the Asgardian sets that I enjoy, but the villains may be a little bit lukewarm. Like, I think that the were really quite strong, and Shuri is fantastic. Shuri's like, S tier. Shuri's one of the best characters in the game. But that promos box, with the exception again of like Rhino, who is a broken character, he's completely, you have to play him with your Rata, or he's garbage. Really a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it immensely.
You're not dissuading me from just buying you out then. You're like, you know what? I think you're really like this.
I mean, I think maybe we need to end up with two promo boxes for Avengers promos.
I feel like we missed our opportunity at getting it at a good price, though. Until it flooded the market, I guess. Oh, yeah.
World Games will have some that we can get.
That's true. All right. So before we sign off, so...
What are we doing?
So we have Spider-Geddon has a...
Well, this gives people a sense of the type of conversations we continue to happen...
All of the time.
Last course of time, right?
That's right.
This is how it goes, yeah.
So Spider-Geddon has a starter that's coming out soon, which has a lot of variations.
And we're all getting that.
Yeah. It's a starter, so we're all going to get it, yeah. Because why not? We all love Ben Reilly.
But he's in it. Because we're the Spider Boys. We have to all of them. That's it.
We are the Spider Boys. So that's coming out mid-November. They just pushed it back. That's a retail release. It was not a Kickstarter. It was just going straight to retail. And then we think March next year. We get updates all the time on Kickstarter and how they're doing with, you know, the molds and everything. So it looks like it's coming along. So hopefully next March we have, you know, one crazy helicopter dropping stuff. I can't wait for the pallet drop in front of my house because I'm very excited about all those boxes. And some of the boxes are going to be bigger because we got three promos boxes. Those are already a pretty big size. There's a Galactus in there. There's a Fin Fang Foom. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming. So very excited about that.
I think people will be coming to your house every day that week. How do you feel about that?
Are we just going to stay at Paul's?
Yeah, a week sleepover. Yeah. I can do my job from remote, right? That's no problem.
Well, really, it should be your house. We all stay at your house. Paul and I can work remote. You're the one going in to teach children. Like, that's important. And then when you get home at night, we're ready to go.
Well, I'm about to make a relocation, right? A new place. So maybe I should just find a place in between your two so that I can... We can have a shuttle betwixt them all.
It's the United pad.
Yes. We're crazy, but we're also crazy united.
Okay. Absolutely. There you go.
Is there anything that you guys are specifically excited about and what's in the pipeline?
Like the stuff that we know is coming?
Any one piece or any one set that you're like, yeah, I can't wait to get this in my hands.
Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I love Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur.
I'm really interested to see how Galactus plays. Mm-hmm. But of the kind of smaller figures, the set seems crappy, but Gladiator, I can't wait to see what his superhero, like his hero cards are like and what his villain deck is like. Like Gladiator is a favorite of mine, and so I'm really pumped for him.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Paul?
Cosmic Ghost Rider. I think it'll be a fun anti-hero on both sides. I think he'll be very excited for that. You probably thought I'd say Jane and Foster Thor, but no. And Cosmic Ghost Rider is...
interesting.
Being the anti-hero, having the two different faces would be fun.
I am very excited about the team decks and what that will do for team construction when we put together a group to face a villain. I'm excited about the equipment because the equipment kind of really changes things as well, especially like because we're comic nerds, so we wanted each person to use the proper equipment, at least the first time, right? There's something about the accuracy there which would be really cool to see. So that's really exciting.
So the equipment cards replace your double wild card intention.
Mm-hmm. Which could be great in some cases.
Yeah.
And we're not going to allow Mjolnir to be played on any characters that have never wielded it in the comics or even a what if, right? We're not doing that. Only
you have to be worthy. Absolutely.
Or can we have a
Goop is not holding the hammer. It's not happening.
Can we have an unnecessarily long conversation debating whether or not character X or character B hasn't held it, but could hold it? Like, we could do that too.
Do we want to alienate our families more?
Yes. Well, no, I'm sorry. No, we don't want to do that, but we want to have some fun. I mean, I guess there's a whole, we've already seen the debate about the Vision, you know, he's just like an elevator. He isn't worthy. He's just like, if the hammer goes in an elevator, it goes up. The Vision's just a robot, so... Oh, those kinds of conversations would be very pleased.
I think for me, I was looking at some of the characters. I'm very excited about X-Man. X-Man's always been my jam. I love Nate Gray. Very excited to see what he can do.
We're going to do a game with Nate Gray and Ben Reilly in the Scarlet Spider costume. Like, and if there's no Adam X, I mean, that's a shame. But we got to pick another really, truly 90s character.
They gotta make Thunderstrike.
Finally, we'll be able to do an Onslaught. We can do an Onslaught game with Onslaught as a villain and Sentinels that we're adding on the board, and then like an Iceman and like a Hawkeye or a Human Torch, and just kind of reenact, or a Thor, and reenact mm-hmm. some of those scenes. And if I can take your Thor and just kind of scrape off all the armor, Paul, so he's shirtless, that might be worthwhile. Think about it. Paul is not pleased.
I'm excited to see what characters like Doppelganger do as a villain. Like, that could be cool. Or Demogoblin. Yeah. Like, again, just like I love those characters in general. So seeing what they do. I don't really care as much about Morbius, but I like that you can play him as both a hero and a villain. That's pretty cool. Trying to think of other ones I'm particularly excited about. I'm excited to see what Quasar can do.
Yeah, and the characters that I would have written off, and again, some characters you expect a lot out of and they're kind of like, okay, like I expect a bit more from Ms. Marvel, for example, but she's playable, she's good. And then there's all these characters when you're like, I don't know, Jessica Drew is not going to be, and then she's like, wonderful. And so the amount of effort and time and care they put into some of these characters, Squirrel Girl, who you might just think is a joke, nothing character, has technically one of the most exploitable cards in the game if you play her with the Stark Labs. Mm. So there's surprises even for the what might be considered a ho-hum character, mm-hmm. I think, in store, because their track record is excellent.
Oh, I forgot probably the most obvious one for me. I'm excited about every single pet companion. I'm going to use them all. Love those guys.
Oh, you got to get Jeff on the board. Oh. I have that.
Jeff, Cosmo, here. You know, Throg, like they're all great.
Those on the Throg for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for at least we'll probably still talk, but after the recording part is completed. But this brings to a close for now our United discussion on podcast. I'm sure when season 3 comes out, for sure we'll probably talk about it. I don't think I would do a live one during the draft because I think that'd be really boring for people who are just listening and can't see the insanity and see the craziness in our eyes. But thank you again, both of you, for being part of this. You can email us at comicshenanigans@gmail.com, rate the show on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, and listen to us on Spotify. We're now there as of yesterday, because Stitcher doesn't exist anymore, so we need another platform to be on. We're also on Apple Podcasts, or not Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. We're there as well, so you can listen to us there. Thanks again for listening to the episode, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.